Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your slightly tired host. Only because we just finished the annual Catholic Answers Apologetics Conference yesterday. It was fantastic. If you've never heard Dr. David Anders speak, he was a highlight. Amy, I will bet you've never heard Amy Hamilton speak. She hasn't done a great deal of public speaking. The two of them were magnificent. And then each of our guys brought it. And I think part of it is we had a really good theme this year. It was about evangelization. It was very practical and helpful about how to become evangelizers. And then we just had 700 really cool people show up. And we just had a great time. So I want to thank everybody for that. Thank everybody who came. I hope everybody made it home safely. It was just great. But boy, you do feel tired after it. And so we decided, you know what we'll do for Monday? We'll just have a great show, and that we'll get a great guest. And then nothing will rely on my energy. So we do have a great guest, and we always have a great show when Scott Wieman is here. Scott Wieman, the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, and the founder of Catholic in Recovery. This is always an interesting hour to me because it's a bit different than what we usually do, but nonetheless connected to what we do, because everything we do is it better be connected to the love of Christ, or there's no point in us doing it. So if you have addiction and recovery questions, if you have questions about 12-step programs or rehabs or family or whatever, and you don't have to be Catholic, Scott will talk to anybody about this stuff. Just pick up the phone and call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884, Addiction and Recovery this hour with Scott Wieman. Scott, welcome. It's always nice to see you.
Grateful to be with you, Cy, and I appreciate catching you today. Maybe a little bit tired, maybe your inhibitions are down a little bit vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I...
That's where you feel like I could finally open up to some help? Is that what you're saying?
Let's get it.
888-318-7884. Scott, I want to ask you about a saint, because there is a saint connected to addiction. And I won't try to say his full name, Saint Mark from China, a saint of the Boxer Rebellion era, a martyr for the church. But here's the deal with Saint Mark, and you could go ahead and give it a shot if you want. I know his middle name is Xi, and I don't know how to say the last name. But and by the way,
Saint Mark Xi Jianling.
Oh, show off!
It's my best effort.
That was good. But here's the deal with Mark. Saint of the Catholic Church, lived a good deal of his life as an opium addict, and apparently never overcame his opium addiction. So how is this guy a saint, and what does that say about the church and an addiction?
Yeah, I think Saint Mark Xi Jianling is a wonderful example for us who are, you know, maybe don't have it all together yet, but are still in pursuit of our Lord, even with some kind of addiction, compulsion, or unhealthy attachment, or some defect of character, or we're relying on something that is not of God instead of turning to God fully. And yes, he shows us that sainthood can be achieved even among those who don't get it all figured out in this lifetime. He died an active opium addict in the year 1900 during the Boxer Rebellion. He and his family were set to be killed, and he actually asked if he could be killed last so that the rest of his family didn't have to see him. I think, just a beautiful, beautiful, perseverance is really what I get out of him. He, you know, despite not being able to overcome his dependence during his lifetime, he's very relatable, especially for those of us who are battling addictions, compulsions, or unhealthy attachments, and even was denied the sacraments for decades because of his attachment to opium, but was, you know, had this great reverence for the Eucharist and for the sacraments of the church, never abandoned his faith. And, you know, there's a principle within 12-step recovery that really says that we don't claim spiritual perfection, but we claim spiritual progress. And so I think that's something that we can all relate to. So I love his example and his model, St. Mark Zhi Jianling, someone who we actually refer to and intercede through. We have a Catholic in Recovery Novena. You can find that on the Hallow app if you're interested in exploring more. He is one of the saints that we really look to for those of us in recovery. And so I think this is especially hopeful for family members impacted by a loved one's addiction who are maybe wondering, will my spouse, will my child, will my parent, will my sibling, will my loved one ever find freedom or detach from this thing that is clearly standing in the way between he and her and God or our, you know, fellow brothers and sisters. So a wonderful saint for us to look to for hope, guidance, and certainly perseverance.
It seems to me that one of the afflictions of any kind of addiction, but I think obsession or habitual sin of any kind, is self-loathing and a sense that I'm not good enough for God. I got to get this together first. I got to at least get it a little bit together, and then I can go back to God. He doesn't want to see me like this.
It's like saying I need to lose 10 pounds before I go start getting into the gym and into some kind of workout regimen. Like, God's grace is sufficient. This is spoken throughout the Gospels and throughout the writings of St. Paul and throughout the New Testament. And I think that, yes, St. Mark is a great example of just cooperation with God's grace, trust in God's grace, despite our imperfections and perhaps worldly attachments. And a wonderful model for us to turn to.
Scott Wieman is our guest, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. Your questions, personal questions, questions for someone else, whatever kind of questions you might have about addiction, recovery, the sacraments, sanctity, prayer, meetings, rehabs, whatever. Scott is happy to talk with you. 888-318-7884. Everyone is welcome. 888-318-7884. So we're talking about addiction and holiness it's a weird interplay, like that you don't have to be perfectly holy, but holiness helps. But the church has a role in all this. This is the thing that I always love about your apostolate, is you're doing this thing, which I really do think is going to change the whole world. It's definitely going to help the Catholic Church, to kind of unleash her charism of Christ's own healing. But how do the big wigs in the church feel about what you're doing? You ever get any feedback from the big, you know, the leaders of the church? Do they like it or they don't like it, what you're doing?
I would say that more and more we are being embraced. Our mission and the spirit of 12-step recovery is being embraced by the church, the universal church, and the big wigs of the church as well, bishops and cardinals and such. And, I recently had the opportunity to present and share to Pope Leo about Catholic in Recovery, which was one of my greatest probably opportunities and experiences in sobriety. And, you know, outside of my wedding day and the birth of my three children, getting to share a copy of my book, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, handed him a Catholic in Recovery token, which is really, as I mentioned to him, a sacramental, an outward expression of this inward grace. And it was just delightful to share that with him. His really right-hand man, Father Manny, followed up afterwards and wanted to know more about it. And that was very exciting. We're eager to continue the conversation. May actually return back. Was invited to Castel Gandolfo the first week of September, and an event on September 5th where he inaugurated Borgo Laudato Si, these ecological gardens and institute that is at the Pope's summer residence, Castel Gandolfo. And an amazing event, a larger event, a number of cardinals and folks and bishops were there. And Pope Leo himself inaugurated the gardens. This was set up about 2 years ago by Pope Francis. And then we were then ushered to meet him, be introduced to him, got a little bit of one-on-one time with him. Wow. And then we probably met the highlight of the day. We were escorted on a small little bus to a different part of the property, the Bernini Gardens, and were treated to a small concert by Andrea Bocelli and his son, basically putting on a private show for Pope Leo, and myself and about 35 others were just flies on the wall in this beautiful, serene moment. The most, I would say, just audibly beautiful and scenic. The scenery wow. is just, it was incredible. It was a day that I will never forget. And on behalf of the Catholic and recovery community, was a privilege to kind of represent our community and share with him what we're doing.
I think I have about a million questions for you, and but let me ask you one before the break, and then we'll come back and, cause I got more about, but okay. The Pope invited you. How does the Pope invite you to his summer palace? Like, you're like, oh, just me and 35 others and the Pope, we're hanging out with Botticelli. How does that happen?
I assure you that it was not based on my merit. But was just a friend, really a guy who was helpful in pioneering Catholic in recovery with me, our co-founder, who I don't speak of too often, but a gentleman named Adam Francis was invited by an organization, Friends of Borgo Laudato Si, and he invited me with him to have this opportunity to meet Pope Leo and perhaps advance the awareness of our mission at Catholic in Recovery.
That is all right. I got more Pope questions for you, but the lines are also starting to fill up. There are a few lines open if you'd like to talk about addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective with Scott Wieman, super close friend of Pope Leo. We'll be right back to do that. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
This is Father John Bonavita Cola. There are many Catholic Christians who turn on the radio and they want to hear something spiritual, something about faith. So it's critical that in every area we can have Catholic radio, and that we as Catholics will continue to support this great work and for bringing the message of the gospel, the message of our beautiful Catholic faith to everyone.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Addiction and recovery this hour on Catholic Answers Live. Your questions welcome. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. I am going to go right to calls momentarily, but I have more questions about this Pope thing. And I just learned at the break, I have reason to be mad about this. You actually canceled an appearance on this show just to meet with the Pope. You were supposed to be on this show, and that's why we got that call. That you weren't sick. You were on your way to Rome.
I believe the correct term is postponed. And yeah, absolutely. Sorry. I'm
All right.
I've given myself permission to set you to the side for a few weeks in order to meet His Holiness.
Okay. And I will go to the phones, but I would like to know about His Holiness. Like, how did you find him in conversation and like, how does, I just like to know what it's like to be around Pope Leo.
Yeah, I mean, a man of, gentleness and humility. And it wasn't a long conversation. It was, and I would say more of a monologue than a dialogue. I didn't really think so much about what I was going to say before I, approached him, just not trying to psych myself up, but maybe a starting point would have been good. asked him to bless a few items that I had gotten for my wife and kids, and told him about Catholic in Recovery, told him that 12-step recovery saved my life, and that I have started a community within the church called Catholic in Recovery that is serving people around the world, finding healing from addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. And shared a little bit about that with him. He was, you know, very friendly and warm and excited to hear about it. In fact, one photo has this like look upon his face that is kind of in awe, which was wonderful.
Oh, how wonderful.
But it wasn't like we're not pen pals or anything like that to this day. But
yet,
who knows?
Yet. You're not pen pals yet. And what did you say when you mentioned to him that you were missing Catholic Answers Live to be with him? What did he say to that?
He told me I need to get my priorities straight.
Okay, good. All right, to the phones we go. I don't even believe that story at all. 888-318-7884. Our good friend, Scott Wieman, does magnificent work. And with many other people, it started an apostolate that now has many supporters, running active programs all, as he said, all around the world on the internet. That is Catholic in Recovery. If you'd like to ask about Catholic in Recovery, or if you'd just like to ask about addiction and recovery, 888-318-7884. We'll start in Cincinnati, Ohio, where Daniel is listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Glad to have you, Daniel. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Hello, Mr. Scott. I was just calling. I myself have a addiction to, we'll say, impure images. And it's been something I'm trying to beat for a long time, going to therapy, stuff like that. And I've got little ways of reducing my dependency, like reducing the issue. But I was just wondering if you had any advice on how to overcome that. And a side note, are there any saints related to that issue that I could reach out to for intercession?
Daniel, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Daniel. Praise God. Thank you for reaching out, and know that you are certainly not alone. And that's one of the things, you know, our addiction, if we can personify it, wants to make us believe that we are not alone, or that we are alone, and that we're the only person that's dealing with this, and that we ought to, you know, stay isolated and keep it from telling anybody about it, and try to involve as few people as possible in our recovery and in our healing. And that's just contrary to really what works. As a therapist, mental health therapist myself, I see many people who seek me, you know, with various addictions, many of them men and women, seeking recovery from lust addiction, pornography, sexual addiction, and in various forms, I would say to various degrees as well. And I would say that the number one determiner of whether someone gets well or whether they just keep fighting this is their willingness to be part of a group. And there are a variety of different groups available. For one, Catholic in Recovery is within the church and integrates 12-step recovery with the Catholic faith. You speak freely about your faith, your experiences as a Catholic, and find others who have found a solution to your problem and can walk with you, not just to give yourself this feeling that you're not alone, which is incredibly valuable and powerful, as I found myself in my own recovery, but also people who can share what their experience, strength, and hope, what it was like for them, what happened, and what it's like now, guide you through one day at a time, no longer looking at pornography or images. And I'll say this too, relating to all different types of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, whether it's alcohol, drugs, lust, food, gambling, codependency, internet and technology addiction. These are just different symptoms of the same spiritual malady, and symptoms meaning that there's this deeper underlying issue. And that's often, when we get to the root of the issue, which the 12 steps does a really remarkable job of providing a place for surrender, and then digging into those issues, finding healing internally so that we can be a beneficial presence in our families and in our communities and wherever we might find ourselves. And so connecting with others is essential. Sexaholics Anonymous is another fellowship, a 12-step fellowship that in their definitions of sobriety is in alignment with their Catholic faith, and would encourage you to seek them as well. So Catholic in Recovery and Sexaholics Anonymous. Additionally, there are some things that can be very helpful. Honesty is really crucial. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone needs to know that you're struggling with impurity or sexual compulsions, whatever you want to label it as. There's no need to take out billboards and put up signage or anything like that, but it's largely within a confined, confidential, protected environment, sharing with other people the same thing that they're going through, that you're going through. And in that, we can relate to an individual or a group, which helps us to ultimately re-envision our lives and our place. Not staying stuck in this identity of I'm a POS, but rather I am a beloved son or daughter of God. And through that identity, we can do anything. So is that helpful, Daniel? Have you tried any of that? What's your experience been?
I've actually not tried any of that. I've tried just blocking stuff on my phone and we're going through therapy at the core, trying to get at the core issues, but I did not know there was a Sexaholics Anonymous. So I guess I'll have to look up something like that.
Married, Daniel? Also, are you married?
I am not. No, I am single. And actually, part of the reason I'm single is because this issue is taking away attention away from looking for someone to date.
Yeah. Well, I think it sounds like you've got your priorities, though. You want to, you don't need to be a perfect model of yourself in order to be someone that someone wants to be married to. But at least trying to heal these issues before bringing them into a relationship is essential. And I'm very proud of you, Daniel.
Daniel, I'd like to send you a book we have called Secrets from Heaven. It's reflections on the parables and sayings of Jesus. And I think it's a beautiful book that I like to send to lots and lots of people. I think you will really like it. If you give us an address, we'll send you off Secrets from Heaven on the parables and sayings of Jesus. Scott?
Yeah, and one other thing, I would invite you, too, to check out the Catholic in Recovery podcast. Biweekly, Father Sean Kilcawley and I share on a topic related to church teaching or Catholic faith and recovery. I don't think there's anyone in the church better than Father Sean at speaking about the really particularly sexual addiction, but addiction in general and as it relates to Catholic theology. And he has tons of insights on every episode. We have one episode that's specific to sexual addiction. You might find that very helpful, but Father Sean is a great resource as well, someone that I'm privileged to share a podcast with.
Daniel, hang on and give us that address if you'd like a copy of that book. I'm going to go to Dallas, Texas now, where Cosimo is listening on 9:10 a.m. in Dallas. Welcome, Cosimo. Go ahead with your question.
Once a person has basically, gotten to the point where they're not acting out or they're not, deliberately, falling in the mud, then... my goal is to really live in purity and live without, any real attachment to lust or to pride or to resentment. And so to try to, reach higher. And that's been a challenge. And I wonder what your, seems like you have good experience and wondered what your response to that question would be.
Yeah. That's a great question, and I appreciate you asking and sharing some personal history behind it. There's so much to this that, as I mentioned, the addiction, lust, is but a symptom of this deeper spiritual malady, and that means that I'm someone who is crippled by lust addiction is believes that pornography or lust or masturbation or whatever the acting out might be is more reliable than God is in a given moment. And so we turn there, and there's a lot of conditioning that makes this happen. It doesn't just happen overnight, but what we are longing for in connection, we seek in all the wrong places oftentimes. For myself, that was all of the above: alcohol, drugs, food, lust, gambling. And, specifically around my own recovery from alcohol and drug addiction, it was probably a good 2.5 months of sobriety before the mental obsession to drink and use drugs was lifted. And this didn't happen. There was no lightning bolt that went off that, alerted me of this. But it actually kind of took me a couple of days to realize that, man, I haven't really thought about or obsessed about drinking or getting high or changing my mood using mood-altering substances at all recently. What a gift. It's been so long since that's taken place. And I think, Sexaholics Anonymous, a fellowship, 12-step fellowship for those seeking freedom from sexual and lust addiction, Kind of outlines a good, has a good model for how we can move toward this with three circles, the inner circle, the middle circle, and then the outer circle. The middle circle is that bottom line behavior that we are avoiding no matter what. So that's the quote unquote acting out, whatever that might be as it relates to your addiction, compulsion, or unhealthy attachment. That middle circle, or that, yeah, the kind of the second middle circle, not center circle, but middle circle, is those are the behaviors that are like the, if I keep doing this, I'm going to end up in the center circle. I'm going to end up doing those bottom line things. That can be things like scrolling mindlessly on social media or watching television at all, or watching television shows that are not educational or that are not lifting my spirit. It might be taking a second glance or things like that. So we are avoiding doing those things and instead turning to that outer circle. And these are the behaviors that can be really supportive and protective of our recovery and our freedom. So that means, you know, connecting with others in fellowship, or going to mass, praying, you know, doing activities that are going to be helping me experience the fullness of life, calling other people, seeing a therapist, listening to Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett. These are things that can be very helpful and healthy, you know, patterns within our lives. I would also say, too, that, you know, we don't just, you know, setting aside the drink or the drug or the acting out sexually is just a start. That is, I would say, the consolation prize, the real reward for us that work through the 12 steps and get at those inner things, the resentment that you mentioned, fear, isolation, the deep shame that comes along with addiction. Working through the 12 steps provides a great outline and really a blueprint for surrendering and then digging through those things and then finding new purpose, you know, taking daily actions in order to maintain that freedom, stay connected to God and our fellow brothers and sisters, and then give back what we found freely. I've found that the greatest gifts in life, faith, recovery, my sobriety, can only be kept if we're willing to give them away. And that is a great anecdote and I would say solution for the next drink or the next acting out.
Cosimo, God bless you. Thank you so much for the call. Hey, if you want to give us an address, we'll send you Secrets from Heaven as well. I'd love for you to have it, except right now the music's playing, so I got to go. Call with your questions for Scott Wieman on addiction and recovery, 888-318-7884. Each Catholic is obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. Well, we're here to help. Join special guests Chris Stefanik, Dr. David Anders, Steve Dawson, and all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists this September 25th through 28th in beautiful San Diego for the Catholic Answers Conference. Our theme? Go make disciples. Enjoy 4 days of faith, fun, and fellowship. Seats are still available, but going fast. We'd love to see you there. Register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear...
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. We're talking addiction and recovery today. We always like it when our good friend Scott Wieman is here, 888-318-7884. It does seem to me that the Catholic Church is over the last decades or so, but increasingly picking up steam on recovering her role as a healer, as offering the healing power of Jesus Christ to the world. And Scott is at the forefront of that. He's so important. He went to see the Pope. What was harder, visiting with the Pope and going having a Bocelli concert, or going up the holy steps on your knees? Which thing did you enjoy more?
I loved the excruciation of walking up the holy steps on my knees. No, it was far better to meet the Pope. I appreciated that when you're kneeling up the holy steps, that there are people there who are encouraging people to, let's go. We got a long line. We got to keep moving. That was very helpful.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. We all need encouragement. It's like a little metaphor for life of the church. We need those who encourage us to keep going. I did not like that, Scott. I did not like going up the steps on my knees. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery, is with us today. If you have questions about Catholic in Recovery, if you'd like to know more about it, maybe it's something that you would like in your parish or in your neighborhood, you're welcome to call and ask your question, 888-318-7884. Or if you have a more general question about recovery, we're happy to talk about those things, and other people listening will benefit. So it's not you're not taking up time. You're helping us to do what we do here. So 888-318-7884. What are there new things going on at Catholic in Recovery? I mean, give us an idea of the scope of what you're doing now.
Yeah, we have over 200 active Catholic in Recovery meetings taking place around the world. About 140 of those are in-person meetings, and about 65 virtual meetings that people from all over the world attend. We continue to add meetings to that list, and expanding in-person meetings through Europe. We just got an inquiry today about starting a group in Africa, and are eager to we've got meeting materials and resources being translated into Spanish as well. So doing more to broaden the reach and the scope. We just this past Friday had a virtual summit. I know you all had your annual conference, one that I hope to attend one day. And we partnered with iThirst Initiative, which is another organization within the church whose mission is really around developing spiritual companions to walk with those who are affected by addiction. And our collaboration is really wonderful to see within the church, and hope to bring in others who are doing that kind of work within the church so that we can collaborate as one unified mission. And so had about 200 plus people participate in a virtual summit where we had some speakers and Catholic in Recovery meetings, workshops, testimonials, and such. In 2 days, on Wednesday, October 1st, we're going to be kicking off another cohort of 22-week series that we call Living the Steps. And this is an opportunity for people to connect with fellows in recovery and those who are interested in recovery to work through the 12 steps of recovery. Using the Catholic in Recovery workbook, we integrate Catholic sacraments, scripture, wisdom from the saints, the catechism, and all sorts of Catholic wisdom. And so you're invited to participate in that. Check out catholicinrecovery.com for more information about that. We also have a few retreats, a weekend retreat taking place the middle of October in Menlo Park, California, the Bay Area. And that's October 17th through 19th, and a one-day retreat in Florida, in Jensen Beach, Florida, on November 8th. So plenty of opportunities to connect with fellows in recovery. And it's been a privilege of mine to just meet people where they're at, getting to see the change real time in person, see people develop from this place of desperation. And desperation can be a wonderful thing. But, going from desperate and hopeless to admitting their powerlessness, putting their trust in our Lord, and surrendering and handing it over to Him, and trusting in fellow brothers and sisters who are walking the walk of recovery with them. So, it's been a privilege to see things develop and grow. This was none of this was my plans. I just kind of started a website, and from there, audience and a group built, and here we are today. I trust that God will continue to guide us if it's within His will, and try to be compliant and cooperate with His grace.
Scott Wieman, our guest. You're welcome to call in. Lots of calls, so I'm going to go back to the phones. Ed is in Oregon, listening on KBVM radio up in Oregon. Ed, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
What would you think of developing a devotion, a simple devotion, to start your journey towards normalcy in this regard to what this talking is about today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. What do you have in mind as far as that kind of healing devotion?
Well, the easiest thing is the 3 o'clock devotion. And you can pray that on our weapon, which is the rosary, the Divine Mercy Prayer. And you can listen in on the radio at the 3 o'clock hour here in Oregon. And that's that opens the door for the Lord to help you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. We are working on a lot of those things and wonderful. I mean, if you go to CatholicInRecovery.com and check out our virtual meeting schedule, you'll find that we have, in addition to 12-step meetings, prayer groups that gather various times throughout the day. One that gathers at 3 o'clock Eastern time and prays the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Two groups every morning of every day of the year that gather and reflect upon the daily mass readings for a half hour and then pray the rosary together for a half hour. And an evening group that prays the rosary together as well. We developed a resource, a book called The Recovery Rosary, which has testimonials from those in the Catholic and recovery community who have been affected by a variety of addictions, as well as a loved one's addiction, who share their experience, strength, and hope, and help to add some context and color to one's devotion to the rosary. So, and actually, in Modern Day Radio in Oregon, we've partnered with them, have a team of people out in Oregon who we've very actively Catholic and recovery presence throughout Oregon. And they've recorded the Recovery Rosary on the Modern Day Radio app. So something worth checking out, but I'm open to ideas. And a lot of what has come about has really been inspired by community members. I do believe, you know, things like litany and, you know, specific recovery, addiction recovery devotions are would be wonderful for our community, and I'm open to whatever the Spirit might have in mind for us.
Okay, Ed.
Sounds great.
God bless you, Ed. Thank you
Thanks
very
for calling,
much
Ed.
For the call. We'll go to Youngstown, Ohio now. Brenda on the line. Brenda, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Hi, Scott. So I actually needed this tonight because I've been struggling. I've been clean for about 4 years, but I've kind of been in a same spot pretty much. I'm not progressing, and this is literally what I needed to hear today. So how does like the 12 steps kind of pertain to Catholic? I've never been Catholic. I've just kind of gravitated towards it. How do they kind of intertwine together?
Yeah.
Recovery and Catholic.
Yeah, I think there's a variety of ways to look at this. I think the spirit of recovery, a little bit about my story. I got sober in October 2011, was desperate and hopeless and full of shame and fear, and walked into a 12-step recovery meeting with little hope. I didn't think that they had a solution to my problem. And what I found there was the love of Jesus Christ. And Father Jacques Philippe, in his book Interior Freedom, writes that we need the eyes of God the Father. Those eyes might be through a teacher, a mediator, a mentor, a friend, a spiritual director. But those eyes, the loving gaze of God, which can be the most tenderest, truest, most loving, compassionate eyes in the world. And in order to find ourselves well, in order to be okay, I walked into this meeting on October 10th, 2011, full of fear. They were laughing upstairs. I could hear it as I was walking up the stairs. I thought, I've got to be in the wrong place. If they're laughing, they have no clue what I'm going through. And what I found there was a group of individuals who helped save my life. And in fact, one man, after the meeting, darted across the room, looked me in the eyes and said, I know exactly how you feel. You don't ever have to drink again. And that saved my life. He took me under his wing. We went and got coffee immediately that day and made a habit of going to a morning 7 a.m. meeting and then meeting for a few hours afterward to read through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and cross-reference that with the scriptures. And from there also then developed, as we as I came to understand the 12 steps and the sacraments of the church, found a great overlap between the sacrament of baptism in the first three steps, where we admit that we are powerless and in need of a savior, and not that we are, you know, should be defined by our addiction or the worst thing that could be, you know, have happened to us, but rather to find our identity as beloved children of God. Steps 4 through 9, I think, are the most blatant overlap between the 12 steps and the sacramental life of the church, where in step 4, we take a fearless moral inventory of ourselves. In step 5, share that with God, ourselves, and another human being, and then asking God to remove whatever defects of character stand in the way of serving him and others. And then in step 8, make a list of all persons we had harmed, become willing to make amends to them all. And in step 9, make direct amends to such people, except when to do so would injure them or others, which is really the fullness of reconciliation, from the preparation to the confession to the penance, as we would describe it in the church. But truly, reconciling relationships and taking ownership of the damage that we've done allows us to look others in the eye and even look ourselves in the eye. From there, in steps 10 and 11, act like our daily bread, the daily medicine that we need in order to sustain eternal life. And in step 12, what we've received, having had a spiritual awakening, we give back freely to those who are still in need and those who are looking for hope. Much like in our confirmation, we're giving gifts of the Holy Spirit and asked to share those with others who are looking for a savior and looking for hope. And so in that way, I believe that the sacramental life of the church and 12 steps of recovery overlap significantly. In addition, if we look at the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, which was formed in the 1930s, we'll find people like Sister Ignatia, who was known as the angel of Alcoholics Anonymous, very active in the formation of Alcoholics Anonymous, and Father Ed Dowling, who was the spiritual sponsor of Bill Wilson, AA's co-founder in the early 1940s, and helped steer the advancement of AA in the 12 steps, seeing the similarities between the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the 12 steps. Now, when I got to, you know, none of this stuff was, I didn't care about any of this stuff when I got to recovery. I just was desperate. I wanted something new, and I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Tired of getting in my own way all the time. And so I can sense that spirit within you, and that longing for hope and longing for connection, and would encourage you to find it through a variety of different fellowships, and just not give up on yourself. So grateful that you called today.
Thank you so much. I really, really needed to hear this tonight. I definitely did.
Oh, praise God, Brenda. Praise God for that. That's beautiful.
Join us for a Catholic in Recovery meeting tonight if you're available. I believe at 8 o'clock Eastern time, we have a general recovery meeting taking place via Zoom. You can go to catholicinrecovery.com, find a full list of virtual and in-person meetings. We have a good fellowship throughout the state of Ohio. I really hope that you find us and find fellows who can help lead you and lift you to new life.
I will look into that tonight. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Brenda, thank you. You brought us right to the break. We've got more calls to come, but we also have room for your call. We'll have time to get to several more folks on the other side. So if you'd like to talk about addiction and recovery with Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic and Recovery, or if you'd like to talk about Catholic and Recovery, or maybe getting one of these going in at your parish, whatever it is, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Mother Angelica had a simple goal when she began EWTN, to reach the world with the gospel message. EWTN News operates multiple global news services and digital platforms, along with news agencies in Spanish, Italian, French, Portuguese, Arabic, and German. We've never wavered from our mandate to proclaim the truth and majesty of the Catholic faith. Thank you for joining EWTN in this mission.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Scott Wieman, and Catholic in Recovery, what is it, about a decade old now? How old is it? Is it a decade?
Yeah, about a decade. Started as a website blog, essentially writing articles related to 12-step recovery and Catholic faith. Was about this time a decade ago that I received a very providential message from Lisa Hendy of Ave Maria Press asking if I would be interested in writing, doing some more writing. And that led to a book proposal. And 2 years later, the 12 Steps and the Sacraments was published. And during that time, so many blessings and graces, I think one of them being an invitation to come on Catholic Answers Live. This was before even your tenure here, Simon, getting to, you know, really share about what we were doing to a national, international audience was incredibly helpful in order to get the word out. And, you know, from there, people started inquiring about getting new Catholic and recovery meetings started in their communities, and things have grown ever since then. It's been truly a blessing, and grateful for the partnership with Catholic Answers to make that happen.
I think we feel that same gratitude. It's been so good for us to have these shows over the years. And of course, Patrick Coffin, my predecessor here, many, many great innovations like that from Patrick. So we remain grateful to him. I'm going to go to Houston, Texas. I have a thing from, I'm coming to you, Sergio, in Houston. I have a note here that says, Annie in Minnesota, just wanted to thank Scott for helping save my marriage, but I don't think she's on the line. Is she? Because I don't have a line number. So I think, so she just called to say that. So thank you, Scott, for helping to save Annie's marriage in Minnesota.
Praise be to God. I can't imagine how I could take credit for that.
Well,
God bless you.
Yeah. Thank you, Annie. Thanks very much. Okay, Sergio in Houston, Texas. Thank you for waiting. We're glad to have you here. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Thank you. Well, this is thank you so much for Catholic Answers and the fact that you guys, take the time to take on this subject is really, I'm so grateful for that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sergio.
So, So I'm in recovery myself, and one of the things that I've learned about, 12-step recovery is that AA, when it was formed, it was a lot of different components that just came together at that particular moment in history. The medical understanding of it, the allergy, the obsession of the mind, but also the spiritual solution, and all of it just came together just such a way that it just flourished. And I've also seen a lot of times when I go to meetings, a lot of religious groups will try to say, well, I'm going to start a Mormon recovery group or Celebrate Recovery or Christian group or this. And a lot of times those fail, not all the time, but some of those fail because they focus way too much on the spiritual, missing out on the medical side sometimes, or it just becomes, in other words, like for me, if I do Sergio's program, I'm not going to be sober, So I guess my question to you on all this, with that background, is how is Catholics in Recovery different, and how does it not fall into all that? Because I'm really curious. This is I would love to be part of that. So, how does that work?
Thank you. Grateful that you called, Sergio, and a great question. Praise God for your recovery. I appreciate and can hear the spirit of recovery and freedom in your voice as you're sharing. There's also some verbiage that we use that's that can kind of help identify us as well. Pardon me. I hear what you're saying, and I think that if someone were to propose to me a Catholic version of 12-step recovery, my first inclination would be pretty skeptical, actually, especially given that the 12 steps of recovery saved my life, and I have a great reverence for that, and would fear that it would be some kind of watered-down version of the 12 steps in order to fit in the Catholic component. And I think the challenge is to not over-spiritualize the problem, now, but also recognize that addiction manifests fourfold. Cognitively, biologically, emotionally, and spiritually. And so a solution has to encompass all of that. It can't just be three but not one. We can't exclude the spiritual aspect of it. We can't exclude the emotional or the physical or the mental aspect of it, but rather need to encompass all for a holistic recovery. myself, I identify as kind of an all of the above type of an addict and can easily think that I'm getting sober by setting aside one addiction or substance or behavior, but picking up another one and thinking that I've found my solution, which is not really a solution, but it's just kind of switching symptoms, if you will, of this deeper spiritual malady. And so we balance that, I would say, by really putting an emphasis on fellowship and recognizing that we cannot do this alone, that we need each other. We encourage people to find relationships with sponsors within Catholic in Recovery or outside of Catholic in Recovery. We don't claim to be an alternative to secular 12-step recovery groups such as Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Sexaholics Anonymous, Al-Anon, ACA, I could go on and on, but rather be supplemental to, and in some ways a bridge between the church and recovery. There are a lot of people within the church who believe that the tenets or the principles of 12-step recovery are against our Catholic faith. And if we read recovery literature, we can find that there is a lot running parallel. I would say that as our culture has become more secularized, as have some expressions of what 12-step recovery ought to be, you know, people who are fighting to exclude God from the 12 steps or, you know, might even in a meeting identify as a recovering Catholic, as if being Catholic is a condition that we need to recover from. And so recognizing recognizing that someone who's in that place first is probably not as atheistic or agnostic as they might think they are, and second, that they are hurting and are wounded, and we want to provide us the spirit of Christ's love to all and serve as kind of a bridge between 12-step recovery in the church and the church and 12-step recovery. There are plenty of people similarly in the pews whose spiritual life or relationships have been hampered by an addiction and perhaps have over-spiritualized the problem. I think in the church we may have given this idea of like, well, if I would have just said 10 more Hail Marys yesterday, I wouldn't have fallen to my addiction today. And I don't want to discount the power of prayer at all, but God moves mountains and he asks us to pick up the shovel. And so we have to cooperate with his grace and the opportunities to connect with each other, to be co-creators of our own life. And I believe that the 12 steps is an awesome template for doing that, and puts it in spiritual terms, the spiritual in very human terms, and saved my life, and grateful that it saved yours, and I believe that when we blend the wisdom, the love of Christ with those steps, that it can be a guidepost for really anyone.
Sergio, I'm going to leave it there because I would like to get everybody on that has called for Scott this evening. So I'm going to come back out here to California. Elizabeth in California, go ahead with your question for Scott.
Thank you for taking my call. Elizabeth was actually my pseudonym to remain anonymous, but my name is Missy, and I'm calling from California. And I'm a recovering codependent and compulsive overeater. I came to recovery about 5.5 years ago and found Catholic in recovery about 2 years ago. And it's incredible and has changed my life in ways that I can never praise enough. This is kind of a shameless plug for a meeting that I co-facilitate here in the San Diego area. And I just wanted to make it known, if anyone's listening and they're looking for a Catholic in recovery meeting, there is an in-person meeting, and it's on Wednesday nights at 6:30, from 6:30 to 7:30. It's in Oceanside, and it's at St. Thomas More Church. It's a general meeting, which means it's for anyone suffering from any kind of addiction, compulsion, unhealthy attachment, family members. So I know there are several Zoom meetings, but sometimes people are looking for an in-person meeting, and there's one right here in San Diego. So I just wanted to pass that along.
Beautiful. So grateful for your call, Elizabeth, Missy. And I couldn't have said it any better myself. I would encourage people, that window of grace, when God is calling you, where the gift of desperation and the invitation to do something different comes about, that window does not stay open for very long. So if God is calling you to do something, to take some action, to find freedom in your life, even if you don't believe that it's possible, I want to encourage you to take Elizabeth's heed and find a meeting, whether that's an in-person meeting, meetings happening tonight, meetings happening, you know, in person in virtual settings. Just connect with the body of Christ, and I think you'll be amazed at what you found. And if it doesn't work out for you, we'll be happy to refund your misery.
Thank you. I'm going to keep going because I want to get Joseph in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. But Joseph, you will have to be very quick if you'd like an answer because we just have a minute left. Can you do that, Joseph? Nope. No, Joseph?
Hello?
Oh, hi, Joseph. You got to be really quick. Real quick, Joseph.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering if Catholics in Recovery have ever applied their addiction process to hoarding.
Okay, Scott?
Yes, we have. And we do have people in our community who participate in general recovery meetings. And many of our meetings are general recovery meetings for people with a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, seeing hoarding or cluttering as a process addiction. We also have a great meeting on Sunday nights for behavioral and process addictions. Clutterers Anonymous is another great resource that invites the 12 steps into the process of healing. Would strongly encourage you to check that out in addition to attending a Catholic in Recovery group.
Joseph, because you were so quick, I'd love to send you the book, Secrets from Heaven. Nobody's ever quick when I ask them to be quick, and you did it, Joseph. God bless you. We're going to take a quick break, and then we got, some special guests from Europe to start the next hour, and then a very special guest after that who I'm going to leave as a surprise. But you want to hear about what's going on in European Catholicism? Let's spend 10 or 15 minutes talking about that when we get back. Scott Wieman, Catholic in Recovery. God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks, Si.
All right, back with more Catholic Answers Live.